Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17.
Galatians chapter 6 verse 17 reads this way. It says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit." And then he says, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of assembling together. And then, Lord, knowing that you are in our midst, and so we call upon you and ask you that you would bless us tonight, open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And then again, Lord, fill us with your spirit that you might be honored and glorified. And not only for today as we open your word, but throughout the week, may you guide us, may you fill us. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified in and through our lives. May you empower us to be the witnesses and the testimony you've called us to be. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "The Grace of Our Lord Jesus Christ Be With Your Spirit." That's God's plan. I mean, this was the plea of the Apostle Paul to the believers at Galatia, and this is, I'm convinced, the Lord's plan for his church even today. And so tonight, we're going to consider this fellowship that the Lord wants us to have. It's a fellowship of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has to do with denying self and allowing the Lord to remove the dross from our lives, and it is through fire. And so we're going to see how this all works out. God removes, that's how gold is purified, and how silver is purified. They remove the dross by heating it up, but it can't be too hot. It has to be just the right heat, and then as soon as that's done, they have to turn the fire off, or otherwise they'll ruin the metal. And so God is watching the heat that he brings into our life, that it might produce a work that would glorify him and be a blessing to us. And again, this only takes place if we trust the Lord to apply the right amount of heat into our lives that will remove the impurities, so that it will allow the reflection of our master to be seen in our vessel. Amen. That's God has called us to be vessels for his honor and glory, and he wants to use us. So tonight, we're going to look at three thoughts. We're going to look at the restoration of believers overtaken in a fault. Secondly, we'll look at the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And thirdly, we'll consider the new creature's admiration for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll see exactly what the Lord is talking about there. So back up with me to verse 1. And the first process of this, the heat being applied is the restoration of believers overtaken in a fault. You know, sometimes we can have conclusions and we can draw conclusions in our own minds about other people's problems, right? Especially when we're younger. You ever remember that? You could look at somebody and you know, before I had kids, I knew how to parent. Amen. Didn't you? I mean, my goodness, all you have to do is this, that, and the other, and that kid will be doing the right thing, right? And then you have some kids, you go, wow, I don't, you know, it doesn't quite work that way. So a lot of times we can look at somebody else's life and we can come to some conclusions, and we don't have all the details, do we? And but yet here, listen, then if somebody were to do that to us, we wouldn't like that, would we? They would draw their conclusion. It's okay for us to do it to them, not really. But anyway, we do it to them, that's one thing. But if they do it to us, oh, they don't have all the details. They don't know what they're talking about. And the truth is, none of us really know the details, amen? And so even in our own lives, it's important for us to walk humbly with the Lord. And again, you know, if you remember, the Lord was talking about forgiving your brother in Christ if they have wronged you or whatever. And then Peter thought he was going to be super spiritual. And he said, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" He thought, you know, one or two, that's a noble thing. Three or four, that's even better. But let's use the number seven, since that's the number of perfection, right? Well, the number of the Lord, supposedly, right? And so we'll say seven times. Surely the Lord would be happy with that. And what did the Lord tell him? 70 times seven, right? 70 times seven. So, and the Lord wasn't saying, you know, 490 times, and on the 491st time, that's it. He was just saying, you know, as long as your brother, as long as your sister in Christ is willing to come up and say, you know what, I've not done right, I've done wrong, that we're to forgive them. And so let's look at here. Notice what he says in verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are of the position of yielded to the Lord, you who are wanting to grow in the grace of the Lord and the grace of God and show the mercy of the Lord and allow the Lord to work in your life, if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of what? In the spirit of meekness. And what is, you know, the Bible said that Moses was a meek man, right? Now listen, being meek doesn't mean that you walk kind of quietly and maybe humbly and like frail and feeble. That's not what it's talking about. What it's saying, when you're a meek individual, here's what it is. You don't look down on anybody, but then you don't hold people to a high regard either, in a sense of God is supreme. So we don't look down, we don't despise people, and we don't elevate people, because what are people anyway? They're just flesh and blood, right? It is the Lord that receives all the honor and glory. What do you and I have, as the Bible says, that has not been given to us? Our health has been given to us. We were just, I'm not familiar with the newscaster, but I didn't realize that a local newscaster passed away at the age of 43, just a couple of days ago. And what, it's a great loss. Who would have ever thought that? And yet, listen, it's not fame or wealth that makes anybody, but everything that we have has been given to us, our intellect, our health. And when it comes to health, we don't even know if we've got tomorrow, do we? I mean, listen, from what I understand, this man was making plans and he was doing things, and it was just an abrupt, unexpected is what I just saw it just before we started church. Somebody told me about it. I said, I didn't hear it. And so all of a sudden, somebody's ushered out into eternity. And so these things are important, and everybody's life is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that this individual had eternal life, because when it all comes down to it, that's what really matters, or we're missing out, aren't we? And so he says this, he says, we who are spiritual, restore these individuals in the spirit of meekness. Listen, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You and I could be tempted to do the wrong thing or to do a fault. You know, we could be tempted to be prideful, can we not? We could be tempted to think that we're right and we're not right. Have you ever thought you were so right, and found yourself out to be so wrong? I think all of us have done that at one point or another. And so, you know, we can think that we're right in our own eyes, but the most important thing is, how does God see it? Whatever it is, how does the Lord see it? And he says, you know, he loves mercy and he loves meekness. And by the way, in order to do that, we have to humble ourselves. Because if we're not humbled, we won't be merciful. Amen? We won't. And by the way, you're reminded when the Lord was talking about this servant who owed his Lord a great deal of money, and he was going to put him in prison. He was going to put his family in prison till the whole debt should be paid. And then he cried for mercy, and he forgave him the whole debt. And then he found somebody that owed him a small amount, and he took him by the throat, if I'm not mistaken, and had him thrown into prison till he should pay it all. And then the other servants went and told his Lord, and he said, hey, listen, what I gave you mercy, why didn't you give this person mercy? And so his Lord threw him in prison, right? And so that's really an observation, really, that God gives us how he sees things. You and I have been forgiven the greatest debt of all, have we not? We've been forgiven the greatest debt. That's our sin debt. My goodness, listen, anybody who really has their understanding enlightened never wants to pay for that in eternity in hell. And so we praise the Lord that he opened up our eyes and that he paid the debt and he forgave us and we received him as our Savior. And so he says this, and so he says, those that are overtaken in a fault, he says, restore them, bring them back with the spirit of meekness and concern and compassion, lest you be caught up in the same thing. And then, again, that requires us to die to self. And then he can move on to verse 2. He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, as believers, and he's talking to brethren, if you look at verse 1 right there. So he's in this particular case, he's talking to fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we're to. And by the way, the Lord's church, the Lord's body, ought to be intimate with one another in a sense of knowing, right? We become, we don't have to know all the details about people, but here's the thing. When you engage people, don't you get to learn their personality? don't you get to learn their likes and their dislikes? And then you can learn also, you can tell, but people that you know, you can tell. And in fact, some people that you don't know, you can also tell when they're not feeling well, right? There's something maybe physically ailing them or troubling them. And then you can also tell when people are maybe emotionally, maybe there's a problem, and you can approach people and you can say, is there something that I can pray with you on? And that's important also. So that's bearing one another's burdens. And then he says, in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? That you love one another. Isn't that the law of Christ? And then he says this, verse 3, he says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Look how the Lord is following this progression right here. He says, first of all, humble ourselves. We have a tendency to think more of ourselves than we really should. You know, we all get dressed the same way, don't we? We put our shoes on the same way, one shoe at a time, unless you've got some kind of talent I don't know about. But here's the whole thing. You know, we all hurt. We all go through all the same different emotions. And so he says, care for one another and be thoughtful for one another. And that requires us to deny ourselves. Sometimes we can get so busy we can't see anybody else. We can do that. And we can miss when people are hurting because we're preoccupied with just our lives, and God wants us to reach out. And you might say, well, listen, I don't have the time to do that. And the Lord says, if you'll look to me, I'll show you how to do that. I would dare say the Lord was a busy individual, wouldn't you? I mean, he was all the time going. He was all the time being called upon, and he was all the time doing things. And yet he could do all these things, but he did it through the grace of God, didn't he? He was our example to show us. He says, you know, I constantly look to the Father. And again, this does not make the Lord Jesus Christ anything less than God. He was the God-man, God in flesh. But it was for the first time in history that he came into human form and submitted himself under the Father. And so in that, they're the three in one, but in that particular case, in his role on earth as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, he put himself under the authority of the Father and trusted him. That's why the Lord said, the will of God is all the same Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the will of God. But again, when the Lord was on earth during his earthly ministry, he was able to say, not my will, but thy will be done. He was experiencing things he had never experienced before, but he did it for you and I. Isn't that amazing that he would come into earth? And that he really stepped down out of heaven, didn't he? In many, many ways, he set aside his glory for the love that he had for us, that we would not perish. And that's the whole God. God the Father was willing to send him. And that was a big sacrifice on his part. God the Son was willing to go, and God the Holy Spirit empowered everything to take place. And so that's an amazing concept when you think about what the Lord has given to us, and then he's saying, you know, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to be chips off the old block, right? That people would say, they are the children of the Lord. Today, I wonder what kind of a testimony a lot of Christians have, and we can get so caught up and so busy in ourselves that everybody's thinking about what I need and what I want, and we forget about what the Lord has called us to. And we'll miss out on the Lord in that regard. So he says, verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And that work really is the work of the Lord that takes place in the life of the believer. He's not talking about our physical work and our physical accomplishments here in this life. And God's involved in those things. God guides everybody. God has equipped everybody to perform specific tasks and to have different occupations. And all that is well and good. But we must be also concerned about the work that God is wanting to do in our lives as his children, as his people, that he might be honored and glorified. And then he says this. So again, look at verse 2. We're going to go to verse 2, and then we're going to go to verse 5, and I'll give you an explanation here. Verse 2 again says, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now that almost looks like a contradiction, right? We're to bear everyone's burden. Now the Lord's saying, but bear your own burden. In other words, here's what he's saying. Be responsible for the things that you're responsible for. Don't just say, oh, well, somebody else will take care of that in my life because we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We shouldn't expect anything from other people. Believers should help other believers, right, and should be involved, but it shouldn't be expected. So in other words, you know, if there was a Christian individual that owned a car dealership or they had an appliance store, should I go to that store expecting a discount? No. Listen, they have their business. They need to make their profit, whatever it is. I would just like good service, right? I should be able to go to them, know that I'll be treated kindly, I'll be treated fairly, and that's all I should expect. I shouldn't expect them to cut their prices for me because no, listen, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. We don't do that at Walmart, do we? You go to the manager, hey, listen, can you drop the price on this for me? No, listen, he would think we're out of our mind. What are you talking about? No, we do the going rate. We take care of ourselves, but we are to be compassionate one for another. And that requires being in tune with the Lord so that we can be aware of and we can see when others have needs, we can be there to help them, right? And maybe even before they ask because we're engaging them and we get familiar with them and we're able to help them. So this is part of restoring believers that have needs as well as being overtaken in a fault. If we can help them and have the ability to do so, it is a blessing to be able to do that. So this is the restoration of believers that are overtaken in a fault or have a need. And then secondly, we find the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So he says, if we're being taught in the world, he wants us, the Lord wants us to communicate all the good things that we're learning and practice those things, right? So if we're learning, if God says, here's what we're to do, should we do those things? Or should we just put those off to the side? Well, I'm not good at these things. I need to put these things off to the side because I'm not good at them. The Lord doesn't call us to do the things that we're good at. The Lord calls us to follow him in how many of his ways? In all of his ways. And so if we are failing the Lord, we shouldn't just, in a certain area, we shouldn't just put that off to the side because we're not any good at it. We need to confront the Lord and call upon him as he's called us to and say, Lord, I need your help with this. And listen, we do need help with the Lord, don't we? Kindness, the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness, long-suffering, all these things are important. And I will just tell you this, I cannot do any of the fruits of the Spirit. I need help with all of them. All of them. I can't do them. And the good news is God doesn't expect us to do them. Because if we did them, then what we would do is we would say, wow, I'm pretty good. And what would we call that? We would call that pride. we would be missing the Lord in that. And so as we consider this, he says we need to communicate the things that we're learning. And then he says this, because of the law of sowing and reaping, be not deceived, verse 7, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you believe that? Is that the truth?
Yes.
Is that the word of God? So if we sow disregard for the word of God, we're going to reap that.
Amen.
If you and I, how much of the word of God should we regard? All of the word, right? And so, Lord, I don't want to just put this off to the side and think that I'm doing the right thing, because if not, I'll be a Pharisee, won't I? I'll be a whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones. Here I am, you know, if I'm preaching gentleness, kindness, which is the word of God, and that's not taking place in my life, and I just move on because I'm not any good at those things, I dishonor my God. Because the Lord says that you're to follow me, right? You're to be as I am. Didn't he say, be ye holy because I'm holy? Listen to this. He's holy, and that's why we should be holy, because we belong to him. Not because we're holy in and of ourselves, but because he's holy. So, Lord, show me how to walk upright in your grace and in your mercy because of who you are and who you want to be in my life. So, he says this, verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh, he says this, shall of the flesh, definitely, he's saying, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so how do you sow in the Spirit? You call upon the name of the Lord. You have to seek the Lord and say, Lord, if you never practice at a certain thing, will you ever get good at it? If you never practice. And so let's start off with prayer. If you never practice at prayer, will you ever get good at it? And I don't know much about the piano other than I know the beginning of Chopsticks. That's about it. But if that's all I ever practice, will I ever do anything more than that? Listen, I want to impress you. I can get on the piano and do about the first bar of it. But that's it. I don't even know it all. Because I don't know it all. But here's the thing. If we don't practice these things, we will never improve. Athletes, we watch them on game day and we say, wow, they are good. Well, they put a lot of hours in practice, didn't they, that nobody else saw. They were practicing. They were doing things that nobody else saw, that if they never did that, they would never be good at it. So likewise, as believers, we should practice our faith before the Lord when nobody else is watching. We ought to listen, Lord, am I just to be a Christian on Sunday mornings? No, if I'm a Christian, I should be that all the time. And so, Lord, I need to practice my faith and my trust in you to perform what you've promised in my life, because none of us can do those things. If you're meeting with frustration, and I would dare say every believer I have met with frustration, and here's the frustration, ready? Because I'm saved, because Jesus saved me, I love him, and you do too. Isn't that the case? You love the Lord because he first loved us. But the frustration is, Lord, I want to do the right thing, and I don't do it. And the reason why I don't do it is because I'm looking to one person, and it's the wrong person. That's me. And so I need you, God. Listen, we bring the Lord in on performing his will in our lives, and we call upon him to do his work in our lives. And so I want to sow to that, right? If I call upon the Lord, I'm planting seeds that the Lord is going to make grow. And as I plant those seeds, I am practicing my faith, and the Lord, and I'm going to reap a harvest, aren't I? But listen, if I have a garden, let's look at the spiritual garden, and I don't plant anything in there, mark it down. If you've got a ground that's all been tilled up, ready to be planted, and nothing is planted, you'll grow something, but you won't like what you grow, because it'll be weeds, won't it? And the devil will see to it, amen, that weeds will grow. And so what we want to do is call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to plant your seed in my heart. And I want you to bring it, I want you to cause it to produce fruit to your honor and glory. And listen, will God deny us if he's freely given us his son? So by faith, we need to say, Lord, I want you to do your work and perform your will in my life. And by the way, when we see that taking place, will that not give us occasion to praise the name of the Lord? Say, boy, Lord, you are merciful. You are gracious to do your will in my life. So he says, mark it down. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit. This is God's promise. Reap life everlasting. Amen. And I want the life of God that's everlasting in my life. What is that? Well, that is love. That is the joy of the Lord. That is the peace of God that passes understanding. That is a comfort that is not in the world. That is a contentment. That is a fulfillment that the world or you and I can never produce. Has anything in this world really ever satisfied anybody? No. I can't remember the fellow's name anymore, but he was one of the richest men of the world. And it was, I don't know if it was back in the 30s, I can't even recall the time, but anyway, they asked him because they thought he had the answer, since at that particular time he was the wealthiest man in the world, or at least in our nation. How much money will it take to make somebody satisfied and happy? They figured he had the answer. You know what his answer was? Just a little bit more than what I have. Just a little bit more. You know what that tells us? We will never be happy with the things of this world. Now, are the things of this world wrong to have? No, not at all. I mean, did the Lord have believers that were wealthy? Job was wealthy. Abraham was wealthy. Joseph was wealthy, right? And so it's not wealth. Of course, the Lord doesn't want the wealth to have us, but that we might have him and that he might have us. And he adds all these other things. But the greatest pursuit, when you consider the life of Job, he wasn't really concerned. He had a relationship with the Lord, didn't he? And you would, if you read the word in the book of Job, you will see that his desire was a right relationship with the Lord. He would even make sacrifices unto the Lord in behalf of his children because he cared about them and he wanted to make sure that they were walking upright before the Lord as well. So that is what God is wanting us to sow in our garden, if you will, of faith, and that is to call upon the Lord to do a work in our lives that you and I can see. It's what it comes down to. I want to see the work of God in my life. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Listen, let's just be honest. Have you ever been weary in praying? I have. I've gone to pray, and maybe, I don't know, my mind or whatever wasn't in the right place or whatever might have you, and then I'd have to stop and say, what am I doing? How about reading the Word of God? Have you ever read the Word of God and asked yourself, now what did I just read? What did I just read? I read something. And it could be because my mind is distracted or who, for whatever reason, different things enter in. And so, Lord, I have to stop myself and say, Lord, I need you to stop me, slow me down, that I can hear from you. And so, people become, I'm convinced, become weary. We can definitely become weary and failing if we're looking to ourselves the whole time. And then we can just give up. Forget it. I can't do it. It's possible, but we should never say, and I've said it, I don't think I'll ever overcome this in my life. And you know what? I was wrong. The reason why I can't overcome things is because I'm looking to myself instead of to the Lord. But when I look to the Lord, you know what? He makes it happen. He brings success into our lives, and then I can praise him and say, thank you, God, that you overcame this in my life. God will put his glory into our life, but he'll never share it as if it's coming from us. He won't share his glory. He'll give it to us, but he doesn't want us to overcome things on our own because then we think we're pretty good, don't we? That's the natural tendency. Hey, I'm a good Christian. This is what I do. And mark them down. This is what I do. How about what God's doing? Because if it's all me, somebody's missing. Somebody's missing, and we will fail. And we will fail the Lord. And we won't succeed. So that would cause us to be weary in well-doing. But it's tough enough doing the right thing and knowing that God will meet us when we call upon him. And that is specifically what the Apostle Paul is talking about. But that when you do the right thing, don't grow weary in it. God will meet us every time we seek him, will he not? Will we find him every time that we seek the Lord? That's his promise, Lord. Listen, with great expectation, Lord, I'm calling upon you to fulfill your will in my life. And I'm going to walk by faith in that. Or I can sit on my couch and say, I'll never overcome this. Woe is me. And what kind of a life is that? That's going to be a defeated life for the Lord. But if I, by faith, trust in who? The Lord. That he's going to perform what he's promised in my life, then I'm walking this day in that way. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that I won't fail, but I'm walking trusting the Lord. I want to at least walk on the water of my trials and tribulations a little bit with the Lord, right? Even if I begin to look to myself or look to the waves, at least the Lord will say, you know what, the Lord bid me to come. What's the Lord going to say? He says, Lord, I want to walk holy as you're holy. Whatever that means in the heart and mind of the Lord, I want to fulfill what you've called me to do. Will the Lord not say, come? And so he doesn't want us to be weary when we call upon him. We can trust him that he will meet us there. And so again, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Notice what he says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Did the Apostle Paul go through some trials and tribulations? He did. Did Peter? You know, when you read the epistles of Peter, it's about suffering. It's about entering into the sufferings of the Lord. Do you remember Peter's outlook when the Lord was on his earthly ministry about going to the cross? He did not want the Lord to suffer. You know, he became the apostle of teaching us how to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ when you read the first, second epistle of Peter. Isn't that amazing? So God brought him to a place where he could have never gone himself. By the way, God wants to bring you and I to a place in our relationship with him that we can never bring ourselves into, but that he will bring us to if we'll call him. If we call on him. Listen, that's the faith part. Lord, I am expecting you to fulfill what you've promised to every believer in my life. And so I'm going to call upon you to do that in my life. And so as we do that and as we consider that, look at verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so here, that's why we find God wants us to be a testimony to the whole world, but specifically to the household of faith. He doesn't want us to forget that. You know, there are people that are walking in sin in this world. That are doing things that are contrary to the word of God. Now, God doesn't want us to yoke up with them, but he does want us to show the love of Christ to them. Because they're ones for whom Christ died for also. Amen. So there are people today, I talked about this morning, that are really mixed up on some ideas about men and women. But God still wants us to reach out to them as well with the love of the gospel. Because God loves them. He wants them to have eternal life. He doesn't want them to perish without him. And how will they know unless they see our love? Again, we can be kind to everybody, can we not? We can love them in the Lord and in our hearts say, you know, may you come to know the Savior as I have. Because it was the grace of God that opened up the Savior to my understanding. And so when we consider this, we're finding this is the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And God wants us to sow good seed throughout the whole world and to all those that need him. Last thought here, ready? And that's the new creature's admiration of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice what he says here. In fact, before I start here, we don't ask God to give us trials, do we? And to put us into temptation. In fact, the Lord says that we should ask him to deliver us from these temptations, right? That we would not fall into these things. But what we're looking at here is when God allows these things. So we're not saying, Lord, I need more trials. That's not what he's asking. No, these are going to come. These are going to come. And the Lord knows about those things that are coming. And we trust the Lord in those things that... So Joseph didn't say, okay, brothers, I want you guys to sell me to the Ishmaelites. No, that's not what Joseph said. The brothers did that, and Joseph trusted that that was God's plan. And it was, wasn't it? So didn't it say at different times when he was sold into Egypt and the Lord was with him? Isn't that great? When he was sold into Potiphar's house and he made Potiphar's house to prosper, so much so that Potiphar knew it was because of the Lord's and Joseph's relationship that he prospered, and that's why he put him in a position where he says, listen, what a testimony. I don't even need to know what's going on. You got it. It's all yours. And then, of course, Potiphar's wife jumped into the program, right? She didn't throw a wrench in the gear. She was part of the plan, and Joseph even he didn't fight. He didn't say, your wife is lying. That wouldn't have gotten him anywhere, would it? No, in fact, he got thrown into prison, and the keeper of the prison, what did he do? Put everything under Joseph. Joseph was a doer of it. And by the way, that's why when the butler and the baker came there, Joseph had that interaction with them, and that was all. And by the way, the butler forgot him for another 2 years, and he didn't say a word. But God never forgot him and where he was. And God worked the whole thing out to bring his brothers back before him, just like God promised him in that dream. Isn't that amazing? God fulfilled that in his life, and Joseph trusted. So it's not we're not asking God to do anything, but we are trusting him. Lord, you are working this out for my good. And so notice what happens here in verse 11. He says this, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Now, some people speculate, and I think it's a good possibility, this is the case, that he had a vision problem. And listen, he is serving the Lord. I don't know if this was the thorn in the flesh. I don't know if this was a result because he was blinded when he met the Lord, that maybe this was something that affected him later on. He did recover from it. Maybe it was something that ailed him. Maybe it was the thorn in the flesh. I don't know, but we do know that he had an issue with it. And you know, he didn't complain to the Lord about it. He trusted the Lord in it. If it was the thorn in his flesh, he trusted the Lord in it. And he continued to move forward. My goodness, he was beaten. He dealt with a lot of things. And if anybody would have thought he'd had enough, it would have been the Apostle Paul, right? And yet he stayed faithful because he trusted the Lord, and his faith grew because he trusted the Lord, not just in the good times. Anybody, the world does that. But he walked with the Lord even when he was despised. You know, the Corinthian church said, oh, he writes these big lofty letters and he's a small man. He's not that big of a guy. And he was mistreated by people who were supposedly followers, wasn't he? But see, he grew in the grace of God, and he didn't allow that to embitter himself, but he became a better believer because he looked to the Lord and was able to move forward. And that's what God wants us to do as well. He doesn't want us to get hung up in the past. He wants us to be able to move forward and not to see the things that come into our life as something that's destructive or against us, but that God allows. Does anything happen in your life that doesn't pass through the hands of God first? Everything comes by the Lord first before. Listen, the old devil, he is stronger than we are, but not in Christ. Amen? And he he's on a leash. He can only go so far. And so we don't have to really worry about him. What we need to do is engage the Lord. So notice what he says here, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So they're saying there are people that would look to the exteriors, right? And they would say, do this, do that, and this is going to make you right with the Lord. But notice what it says here, verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, they've made a proselyte. They've made somebody to follow after them, right? They're not serving the Lord in the love of God, in the mercy of the Lord, and they're doing all these things that are exterior. Bless God, this is the right way, and this is, you know, the only way, and make no exceptions, and yet there's no mercy there. And so the Lord is telling us here, that's not the example. Notice what happens here in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in one thing. And what is that? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Stop just for a moment here and fathom this thought. That's what killed the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And God wants us to die to ourselves to follow the Lord uprightly. And so the greatest thing that you... Listen, everything that comes in our life that is a trial and a tribulation is working by the grace, can work by the grace of God, that we would not look to ourselves but die to selves. So when Paul was in prison, did he get mad at the jailer? When he was in prison at the castle, he was winning people to the Lord. When he was in prison, he was winning people to the Lord. How? Because he wasn't bitter, was he? He saw it as coming from the hand of God. And so likewise in our lives, can you and I trust the Lord to that degree? Can we trust the Lord? And instead of saying, or do we get mad? You remember little kids? You know? There was a little child. And this was back when they had pews, right? This was back when pews were in every church, right? This was going back probably in the 50s, maybe even in the 60s. But this little boy kept standing up in the pew, and his mother kept sitting him down. And then I think she said to him, if you don't sit down, this is when they would give spankings, right? I'm going to spank your bottom when we're done with church. And he sat down, and he folded his arms, and he said to his mom, I might be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside I'm still standing. What is that? That's rebellion. Amen. And by the way, listen, you and I can do the same thing. Listen, when we're not trusting the Lord says, trust me. When things don't go the way you think they should, God is still in control. Amen. And not everything has to go our way, does it? We can trust the Lord when things don't go our way, and that is what requires faith in the Lord, that He's still in control. You know, God has put, He has put imperfect mankind, saved imperfect mankind, in the position to bring honor and glory to His name. Could not the Lord have done it without us? He chose to glorify His name through your life and mine. But that will never happen unless we are yielded, unless we trust that He is running the show and we aren't. And if He's running the show, we don't have to manipulate or push or shove or do anything. We just can trust the Lord. Now, why do the Lord knows that's our natural tendency. Didn't Peter do the same? Lord, that should never happen to you. Let me fix this, Lord. How about this one? Ready? Lord, they rejected you. Let's fix them up good. You want me to call down, Lord, you want me to call down fire from heaven and burn this village here for you? Like they had the power to do that. I think they got the perspective wrong, didn't they? I think they misunderstood where the power was coming from. And they thought, and then the Lord didn't correct them. You don't have that power. No, He didn't correct them. He said this, ye know not what spirit you're of. More important than what they wanted to do, the Lord wanted them to see where their heart was at. He said, the Son of Man did not come to seek and destroy, but to save. You guys, I'm walking with you and you guys are missing it. Didn't he say that more than once to them? He's saying, oh, ye of little faith, where is your faith? I'm right here in your midst, and what's going on, right? But listen, did He stop working with them? No, He brought them to the place many times where they marveled at the Lord, right? When He was in control, when they saw, when they were in the ship and they were all worried they were going to sink, and He was sleeping in the back. And he told them, he says, we're going to the other side. If the Lord says we're going to the other side, guess where we're going? We're going to make it to the other side. If the Lord says, I hold you in my hand, where are we? Right. And if He says, I've got a place prepared for you in heaven, guess where we're going to wind up at? We're going to wind up in heaven with the Lord. Because He is true. There is no lie in the Lord. So verse 14, He says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the trials. Those are the difficulties. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Did you see that? The cross of Christ in our lives is what causes us to be dead to the world. And the glory of the Lord is revealed. That is us trusting the Lord. Do you know you can be saved for a long time and not understand that? You can be saved for a long time and you can become offended when people do things that are unkind. Listen, Joseph's brothers did things that were unkind to Joseph. In fact, they tried to kill him. They conspired to kill him. But they were withholding from that. You know why? Because Joseph was in God's hands. But not only that, listen, Joseph trusted the Lord even through that difficulty. Even through that trial, he trusted the Lord. He didn't get mad at them. Man, if he was not yielded to the Lord, don't you think he would have executed every one of his brothers? Every one of his brothers. If the Lord was not guiding, he says, oh, now let me show you what I'm going to do, if he was the one that was in control. But he didn't say that. In fact, he told them, you meant it for evil. You were trying to hurt me. But God sent me before you to preserve your life. You know what that is? L-O-V-E. The love of God. And so who received the greater blessing? Who? Joseph. And by the way, he had the harder life, didn't he? But he had the greater blessing. How about the Apostle Paul? Do you think he'd ever say, you know what, I'd like an easier life. If I had it all to do over again, I would do things. Do you think he would do things differently, or he would allow the Lord to lead him the same way? The same way, wouldn't he? Because he understood, and he's telling us here, listen, Verse 14, may this be our testimony by faith. But God, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. But we have to be willing to die and trust the Lord and not try to get in there and make things happen the way I want them to happen, but trust the Lord even when they don't. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, listen, but a new creature. The new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule we've just been talking about, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Isn't that good? That's a promise of the Lord. If as many as walk, if we're willing to walk this way, then this is the fulfillment of it. It's contingent on if this is the way we want to walk. It's kind of like when the doctor says, you know, you're not feeling well, you need these antibiotics, and if you take them, you'll start feeling better in X amount of time, whatever the time might be. And praise the Lord that for medicine, right, when it works, praise the Lord for that. But the same prescription by the great physician is if we'll trust the Lord in these things, we will experience the wonder-working power and the peace of God that will rule in our lives with mercy. Notice verse 17. From henceforth, from this point forward, let no man trouble me. He says, he's not saying he wasn't going to get any trouble, but he says, I'm not going to trust the trouble. I'm going to trust the Lord. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body, listen to this, the marks of the Lord Jesus. This is how he saw it. Everything that was done against him that marked his body physically was of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see what he just said there? This is his faith. From this point, let it be known, is what he's saying. Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks, not the marks of the people who've done wrong to me, but the marks and the working of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way that leads home is through the cross. The way that leads us close to the Lord and in the love of God and in the power of God is the cross that kills the natural man so that the Holy Spirit can have his access to our lives and live out in our lives. And so he says, verse 18, and we're done. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You know what he's saying? May you understand this truth. And as Brother Roger likes to say, take it with you. Take it out the door. Walk in that truth. Call upon the Lord to fulfill that truth to the glory of the Father in our lives and to the death of ourselves. That Christ might... If when a seed is planted, unless it dies, no fruit comes. And the seed has been planted, but we have to die, that the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ might be born through your life and mine. So tonight, God wants us to have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be with our spirit. Would you stand, please? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, and your will for our lives and your love for us. May you bless us, give us more wisdom and understanding. May we seek you, Lord, like never before. May we draw nearer to you and call upon you more fervently, especially as we see your day approaching of your return. And Lord, we're getting closer to the end of our life. May we be found faithful when you return. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.